I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited that we are live in the studio, live from the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a show for you all today. Today's topic is going to be good. Missional Monday, 11 reasons church revitalization is possible. That's right. Missional Monday, 11 reasons that church revitalization is possible. That's going to be the topic of conversation today. As always, it's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, and I'm in here by myself right now, but I believe my co-host is on his way. We're going to pray that he travels safely and he gets here in a few moments. Only problem is I got to go downstairs and let him in. Anyway, it's going to be an awesome show. I'm excited about it. Hopefully you guys are too. But let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1. And you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to email us, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Also, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Just do a simple search, Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. And then Facebook Live. Facebook Live. What's going on, y'all? I see y'all. Come on in the room. Come on in the room. Press on in. Press on in. My God. My God. Yeah, just press on in. And there we go. There we go. There we go. Y'all just come on, press on in, and we'd be glad to have you be a part of the show. That's Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and we would love to hear from you that way as well. Amen, amen, and man. And then last but not least, the podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast simply by going to Taking the Limits Off. You can simply do a search on any of your mediums. You can go to Blogger, Stitcher, iTunes. We're everywhere. iTunes.com. Simply go to your iTunes account. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. I'm excited about it. I hope you guys are too. Amen. 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 Look, y'all, so much stuff is happening, man. So much stuff is going on, and I'm just excited. Just curious, though, first of all, how everybody's weekend was. Hopefully everybody is good to go. Hopefully everybody had a decent and safe weekend. I hope everybody had a safe weekend, man. So much stuff is happening in our city and going on in this country and in our world that, you know, every time we turn on the news, it seems to be something bad happening. And I'm just really hoping. I'm really hoping that we get to a point where we no longer have to constantly turn on the television and get bad news from whatever's going on in the world. I'm really hoping that we can get beyond that and we can just become a better people, man, because so much stuff is happening. And I really don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, but I want to real quick, man. I want to say big shout out to my brother in ministry, the other half of the show. Y'all see that name, Devon, back there, the other half of the show. He came to Kingdom yesterday and preached a word. He preached a word at Kingdom Baptist Church on yesterday. And if y'all missed it, my God, I'm going to just leave you with this. And I put the post up on my Facebook page yesterday because it stayed with me for the whole day yesterday. He's made a simple statement and a simple request. He said, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. That thing just messed me up, man. He said, I thank God for you. I got excited right. I got excited right now just thinking about it because he said, even if you talked about me, even if you lied on me, even if you gossiped about me, even if you didn't pray for me when you said you were going to pray for me, I thank God for you. That thing was powerful, man. It got me And I'm still full from yesterday. I am. I'm still full from yesterday. It was amazing. It was a great time in the Lord, and we had a good time yesterday, man. I'm grateful to have that brother back in the fold. I'm hoping he'll come on back over here. I hope the circumstances work out in a way where he feels comfortable to come on back over here, because we definitely need his help. He's been teaching a powerful word on Wednesday nights, as well as he's our teacher for the month. So if you have a chance, come out on Wednesdays for the rest of this month. Devon Winder will be teaching and ministering over here at the Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. Man, it's good. So real quick, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but hopefully you all paid attention to the summit that was going on over in Europe, in Germany, this past weekend. Our president, I hate to say it that way, but he is our president, Donald Trump, was over in Germany for the G20 summit, and it's where the 20 countries come together and talk about their to see if they can get on one accord, and because they're allies of ours. So one of the things that we're looking to do because of that is to make sure that we recognize that the issues that we all have, we have common enemies, we have common issues, and we try to find a way to get on the same accord. We can help each other out. Well, if you paid any attention to it, let me say this. Our president is a complete embarrassment. He's a complete embarrassment. He really is, man. It's sad that's what we've come to. It's sad that that's what we've been transformed into this. But he has isolated everyone. If you watch any of the video, just Google some of the video. He's always walking alone. You rarely see him talking to any of the other leaders because he has alienated everybody. You have seen him alienate everybody. So look, y'all, I'm going to take a break because I got to go all the way downstairs and I got to go let my co-host in. Okay, so that means y'all gonna be looking at some empty chairs. I wish it was a way I could pause this thing, but there's no way it'll let me pause this thing, especially for those of you on Facebook Live. There's no way it's going to let me pause this. So, but anyway, I'm gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, y'all pray for me. When we come back, we're gonna jump right into some more of this conversation. It's gonna be good. Y'all stay blessed, man. Really, really. I want y'all to stay blessed. TTLO. We'll be right back. Peace. Let me give y'all a little bit of this. Yeah, that one.
Oh, my soul, I'll bless the Lord. within me.
Bless the Lord.
My brother has joined us, the good pastor from the First Bethel Church. I gotta get him to get a swig of water first.
Ran up the stairs.
Right. Now don't you right, don't let that go down the wrong pipe now. You while you breathing in heavy. You, right, get that water in there and let's go. Yeah. That's a bad feeling. I've been there, I know. Trust me, they didn't see me do it on Sunday. Well, I almost had to just get down on my knees because I didn't choke myself to death running back and forth. And then I go to take a swig and then go down the wrong pipe. And you, that's when you just walk out the back and hope don't nobody see you. You're like, boy, is he back there? Look at him praying on his knees. No, they got choking. I'm dying. Back.
That's like when you're in worship and
right.
You're in it, but people think you're crying. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be all right.
Like, they don't know what's what.
Right.
That's funny you said that because we just talked about that on Friday. That's what Zipporah was saying. People don't know whether you're in worship or whether you're mourning. They don't know what's going on.
That's crazy.
Your best bet just leave the first person alone. They'll be all right. Just leave them alone. How you been, man?
Man, I'm good. Good. Back in town. So I'm good.
I see.
Yeah.
So you was on the road. Now where'd you go this last time?
Jacksonville,
Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Drove, flew. What you doing?
Man. Flew, but
okay.
It was a trip.
Uh-oh. What?
It was a trip.
The flight or just the...
No.
Oh.
No, just the trip.
Oh, the trip itself.
It was good, man. Okay. Family reunion. It was good, man. Got a chance to be with family that's in Jacksonville.
Okay.
That pretty much set up everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I cooked the whole time, man. So I really
This is the one. Right. You know what? I completely forgot. You said... They told you about the thing, and
yeah.
But then they told you, like, almost a little bit beforehand,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, you got to cook.
Yeah.
Oh, so you had to work.
I pretty much worked the whole time.
But you enjoyed yourself, though.
I did.
That's good,
man. You know, it wouldn't be so bad. Like, Saturday night was at Fish Fry, and I was, like, on one side of the park.
Oh, wow.
Cooking by myself.
Because everybody else is on the...
Because how it was set up, mm-hmm. Certain areas you can't cook.
Oh.
So you had a crew playing ball.
Okay.
A crew in the swimming pool.
Okay.
A crew playing cards, and I'm cooking by myself.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. That does kind of suck.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I guess, well, it's different because it's different when you're hosting something at your house or at a place where, you know, people can kind of come in the kitchen and hang out.
Yeah.
But then on your grill in the back, in your backyard, people can hang out around the grill, but you was isolated. I get it.
Sunday.
Uh-huh. When did you get back?
I got back late Monday.
Okay, late Monday. Okay. Yep. So who preached at your church?
So, I've been gone for 2 weeks from my church.
I know. That's what I just thought about that.
Pastor Hunter from my cousin's church preached for me 1 week,
mm-hmm.
and then one of my brothers in the ministry, Gerald Lamar,
mm-hmm.
preached. Gerald Lamar Wilson,
mm-hmm.
preached that Sunday. So yesterday was the first Sunday I was back in my pulpit.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how are things at the First Bethel? They didn't tear nothing up while you was gone, did they? You will not.
Shepherd.
You will not. Don't do your people like that.
Zion.
How were things at the...
I had to tell them yesterday. You know, I guess I've been gone for 2 weeks. I said, I'm still y'all pastor. Y'all look all sour-faced. And
oh, did you show back up?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What in the world?
Did I come back to the right place?
Man, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Nothing wrong. It was good, man. I preached hard. Mm-hmm. Man, listen. So yesterday,
mm-hmm.
we started at 11.
Okay.
Dude, we got out of church at 12:15.
Wow. Okay.
That's with everything.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened, but I preached hard.
Mm-hmm.
We had singing,
mm-hmm.
altar call,
mm-hmm.
fellowship time,
mm-hmm.
all for everything, and was done at 12:15.
Wow.
I told him, don't get used to that one. That's, we're not Catholic.
But, I mean, if did nobody feel cheated?
I don't know. I did. Like, when I looked at that time, I said, oh my God.
Okay, but
12:30 is one thing.
Here's my question, though.
Okay.
What do you feel like? Do you feel like anything was missing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Choir. The choir was missing.
They weren't there?
I guess because they haven't been rehearsing. Because Danielle been out sick.
Oh, she's still right.
Yeah.
How is she? She better?
She's better. From what I seen, she took a trip. She would text me. She took a trip to Atlanta. So to God be the glory, she got healing.
Mm-hmm.
But since she's been out, we haven't really rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
And so since there have not been no rehearsal, there have been no singing.
Oh.
So I pretty much have to be doing the flow. Well, for today, yesterday, pretty much doing the flow, and which was good. I mean, I'm not knocking it, but you still, as a leader, you don't want to do so much during service.
Right, right.
You want to get the opportunity to sit back and observe and be able to take your win. Because when you're preaching, you know, being out your pulpit 2 weeks, you coming in with the smack out.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I mean, you excited. So I preached, good news won't change my mind.
Oh, wow.
I mean, bad news. I'm sorry. Bad news won't change my mind.
Bad news won't change my mind.
Yeah.
That's good.
So in essence, when Jairus went to Jesus
mm-hmm.
about his daughter,
mm-hmm.
which he thought his daughter was dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but Jesus,
right.
Jesus said she's asleep.
Right, right, right.
And so Jairus felt like Jesus could have
mm-hmm.
hurried to
yeah.
get to her.
Right.
But he had to make a pit stop
mm-hmm.
because that was a lady with an issue. And so I focused on that. But then my 3 points was like a prayerful disposition, a painful delay, and a powerful deliverance.
Ooh, I like that.
Prayerful disposition.
Uh-huh.
When Jairus went to Jesus, he went down and he bowed down to him and started praying
mm-hmm.
and said, Father. And to trip that part, he knew Jesus by name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he really didn't know Jesus from no other place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He only heard, but didn't know.
That's good. That's good.
And so I talked about that. You know, sometimes we go to the wrong people in prayer. And not knowing that we're going to them in prayer. When you go talk to somebody, communicate with somebody about your problems, and without consulting God first,
mm-hmm.
you selected them as being your number one source.
Mm, that's good.
A painful delay. You know, Jairus had to wait until Jesus get through the crowd and then deal with a lady who had an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Now, he could have said, well, listen, you had this issue for 12 years. What a couple more hours would have done for you? But then sometimes we got to look at the fact that the Lord will allow us to see a miracle take place to get our spirits and our hope up to let us know that he will deliver and do some things on our behalf.
That's good.
So, in essence, if Jesus is in the hood, he's in the neighborhood, he's knocking on our door.
Yeah.
And then the power for deliverance, you know, I talked about how Jairus hired these mourners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us got mourners in our life.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
People that speak negative stuff. People that have us carrying their dead weight and not giving us the ability to see life in a positive view.
Mm.
And so when Jesus came, and a lot of people missed this part. Jesus, everywhere he went, a crowd followed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this particular time, he told the crowd, don't come. He only needed Peter, James, and John.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
because
sir.
He had an episode that was already taking place because the mourners started laughing at Jairus. Like, what made you go get this man when she already dead?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good.
And so now Jesus came and checked him.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was one of the most sarcastic men in the Bible.
People couldn't deal with Jesus today.
They could. Exactly.
They'd be offended.
They would definitely
be offended. Yeah.
And so Jesus was so sarcastic, like, what are you doing in here?
Like, what purpose do you serve?
Your presence is not even sufficient in here.
Why are you here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Who sent you?
What you come for?
Exactly. Exactly. And so he had to vacate the premises in order to provide that powerful deliverance.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to vacate our premises.
Funny how I love what you said about him vacating the premises. It's funny how they were denied the privilege. When you preach that again somewhere, add that little part.
They
were denied the privilege of the witness. They had to hear about it from the outside.
From the outside.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
Oh, my.
I turn that into 4 points. That's good.
though, because it's that's a good word, but it's amazing to me how, because of your mindset, your mindset can deny you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. My God.
And your surrounding.
Yeah, come on.
Your and people don't understand this. You got to be careful who you're surrounded by. Because if you're surrounded by... See, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is when Joshua sent the 12.
Yeah.
I mean, when Moses sent the 12 out.
Uh-huh, the spies.
The spies. Uh-huh. And Joshua and Caleb came back with a different report.
Mm-hmm.
I love that story because... In the record, they all seen the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They all viewed it the same way, but but Joshua and Caleb knew that there was a God moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we look at stuff the same way others do, but we forget about there should be a God moment taking place. And so I love that. You know, I love when opposition occurs in our life. And our job is not to fall into the trap of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to stand firm, even when we have to stand alone.
That's good.
Now, that's the hardest part to do when it comes down to Christianity.
Yeah.
Standing all by yourself.
Yeah.
Because even in the midst of you standing, sometimes you don't know if you're right or wrong, but you got to keep standing.
Yeah.
And most people will try to make you seem like you're wrong because we got this rule of thumb. If majority say you're wrong, you're wrong. And that's not always true.
That's true. That's true.
That's not always when Jesus went out and this is gonna bless somebody. When Jesus went out to perform any miracle, Jesus knew his atmosphere. He knew that there were some that believed, some that was nosy,
there was some doubters,
and then those prosecutors was there as well. They were setting up their case against Jesus. So we can't always focus on what's in the crowd. We got to focus on what's at the mission at hand. And because we focus on the crowd, we miss the mission at hand.
Ooh, my God.
And we don't do what it is that the Lord has instructed us to do. And so this whole, like, I know most people don't do Bible Sunday school anymore, but we in the Sunday school syndrome of accepting our call. And the Sunday school lessons given us different men that have accepted their call to minister.
Yeah.
Now, so crazy about this is, in the last quarter, we dealt with Joshua.
Yeah, yeah.
Joshua, well, a quarter before that, because we dealt with the minor prophets last.
It was Judges last. Yeah. Now it's before that was Joshua.
Exactly. So Joshua was so disobedient that he wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do, was preach, but he didn't want to go to the place where God wanted him to go. And I learned this. A lot of us want to do what the Lord wants us to do, but we want to do it the way we want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't do it the way we want to do it, we won't do it at all.
Oh, that's part of the reason why so many churches are in trouble now, because they want to keep doing it the way they've been doing it, not the way God. It's amazing to me. I asked this question. I asked this question of my own people of Wednesday night Bible study. After Bible study was over with last Wednesday, Reverend Winder is teaching our Bible study this month down at the church. And you know, last week was the week after, I think you were out of town for most of it, for the holiday weekend, where we had 102 people shot.
Well, I was getting it. Well, I got in that Monday.
So I made mention of that, and what the reason it sparked my attention was because I got a Facebook memory that popped up that was a year old, where it was 62 people that were shot the previous year.
Wow.
And
increase.
And in the wrong direction, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I said was our motto here at our church is the way of Jesus Christ is the way of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church.
Okay.
So I asked them this question at the end of Bible study.
And that's a good motto.
I said, what would Jesus do?
Wow.
If your motto is the way of Jesus Christ is the way of King, you know, if that's your motto, then when 102 people get shot in the surrounding area, what do you think Jesus would do? Because, see, we have a tendency to keep making these statements talking about the church proper now, not just my own, because I know I got folks listening. You know, we just got to talking about spies. My question is, if you say you are following in the footsteps of Jesus, would Jesus sit idly by while people are dying in the street?
Man, he wouldn't. And, you know,
come on now.
You're hitting something because we as people, we're not intervention. No, we're not prevention.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be intervention.
Mm.
And what happened, we wait till it happens, then step out if we have the balls to do it.
Reactive. Yeah, we react to everything.
Yeah, but the crazy part is, what are we doing to now? We can't stop it all.
No, you can't. That's
but you can put a dent in it.
Here's the better one, and you probably know this as well as I do. Your brakes start squeaking on your car.
Uh huh.
And you hear it before. A lot of times, if you're driving with your windows down, and you hit that brake, and all of a sudden you hear that little slight.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Just a little slight one.
Yeah, I think mine doing it now.
Okay. So you know, and the way brakes were built is that's a warning sign.
A warning sign. Uh-oh.
That's, come on, somebody. Yeah. Y'all stay with me. That's a warning sign that there's possibly something wrong. Now, what that means is at some point, if that squeaking continues, you need to go get it checked out.
Got to go get it checked
out. Right? And sometimes you'll go get it checked out, and you'll find out, oh, man, it's just brake dust.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, blow it off, clean them up, put them back on, good, no charge, go home.
Uh-huh.
But then other times you'll ignore it.
Yeah.
And it'll keep squeaking.
Uh-huh.
And then you hear it. And then what I joked about this other day, I remember, I know some women who hear squeaking and they break, they turn the radio up. let me just turn the radio. I'm going to ignore it. It's still happening.
That's
just
good.
Because you don't, just because you don't acknowledge it.
That's good.
Doesn't mean it's not happening.
That's good.
So then what ends up happening is now you go from a squeak to a grind.
That's good.
Now watch this. Now that you're grinding, now you're doing more damage than had you taken it in when it was squeaking.
I see where you're going.
Because instead of just having to get brake pads, now you got to get rollers.
Yeah.
And rollers is where your pocketbook starts to come up short.
That's right.
Because see, brake pads might cost you a couple $100, maybe $100, depending on what kind of car you got.
Yeah.
But when they say, hey, bro, you need rotors.
Yeah.
And then if you're getting rotors, you got to get calipers.
Yeah.
So
now
your brake job went from a $150 repair to a $500, $600 repair.
Yeah.
If you had been proactive.
That's good.
Come on now. The same thing is happening in the church. Your churches are falling apart. Your communities are falling apart. Because when the violence first started to rear its ugly head, you didn't say nothing.
Right. Wow.
When the violence started popping up,
you didn't
say nothing. When the little ma and pa little store started popping up, you didn't say nothing. When one person was just standing on the corner doing absolutely nothing, you didn't say nothing. When two or three showed up, you said, but now that it's 15 and 20, and now that there's somebody getting shot every other day, now it's a problem.
Now it's a problem.
But had you been proactive early on and say, why do you think in the town of Oak Park, right up the street, ain't nobody standing on the corner?
Nobody.
Because the minute they see one standing on the corner, hey, Doc,
they pull you over.
How can we help you?
Yeah, exactly.
What y'all doing out here?
Exactly.
Oh, y'all got something to do out here?
Zero tolerance.
Is it? Zero tolerance. But we have tolerated this thing over and over again for so long, now that it's become an epidemic, and now here we are coming with a Band-Aid trying to put it over a bullet wound.
And that's the problem.
I think one of the biggest, and I got to continue to speak this, because one of the problems is every man trying to do it by themselves. And it's impossible for every man to do it by themselves.
Yes, God.
I don't know how, I don't care how many members you have.
Mm-hmm.
You need more anointing. You need more power. And you know, it's not about,
you need more people.
Yeah, man, you need it. The problem we have, we got so many people out here that's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in the sake of the gun, the people who carry the guns. It's those who's not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being real with you on this.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to put some pressure back on us.
Yeah. On our own self.
On our own self.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow, we got to learn to start accepting accountability that we're not doing our part. And our part in the church, our part in parenting, our part overall. Now, I applaud those. And don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Because there are some
there
in
are
the trenches.
Yeah.
However, the mass is not in the trenches.
Mm-mm.
The minority is in the trenches, mm-hmm. by the mass is sitting back looking. And so what happens, we're outnumbered.
Yeah.
But in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
One of the greatest aspects, even in the Bible, it don't matter how many that be for us,
mm-hmm.
or against us.
Mm-hmm.
If God be for us,
who
should be against us?
Come on.
And we got to come to reality knowing that with numbers,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about not just any type of numbers,
mm-hmm.
but numbers with power.
Yeah, you don't want it. It's just like what's that story in the Bible? You don't want 10,000 folks. Just give me 300 good ones.
Give me 300 good. Get in.
Come on now. Just give me 300 serious brothers.
Yes. 300.
Because here, was the deal.
That's about the mission.
All of us would love to preach.
Yeah.
I'm sure you would love to preach.
Yeah.
In front of a church with 500-600 folks sitting.
Yeah.
Skip that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd love to preach like you when Miles Hill came to your church.
Woo!
And he brought all his people.
Yes, sir.
And your church was full, right?
Yes, sir.
It was full.
Yes, sir.
Now, you would love to preach like that every Sunday.
Yeah.
However, you take 35 or 40 of just give me 35 or 40.
Yeah.
I had this thought in my mind the other day. Because some churches, I ain't going to say no names, some churches got some really bad ideas when it comes to church growth. They keep saying, man, we need tithers. We need some tithers. We need the Lord to send us some tithers.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, do you want tithers or do you want worshipers? Because, see, tithers just feel like as long as I write a check, I'm doing my job.
Exactly.
Worshipers recognize that that part of my worship is tithing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if we get some folk, man, because here's the deal. I don't need your money. God don't need your money. God asks for your worship.
Yeah.
And if you recognize that part of your worship, this is a part of it. Worship in giving.
Uh-huh.
That's a part of it. But folk who can just sit up and just write a check, big deal, there ain't no worship in that. Ain't no sacrifice in that.
I am convinced.
Come on.
That we are so busy just having church and that ministry. And Jesus never had church.
Please tell me.
He always did ministry.
It was always ministry.
And said part, he went in the church and tore up the church.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because the things they was doing inside the
because
church.
They was doing church work.
Church work.
Yeah, counting money.
And
planning programs. And
program building funds.
Right, right.
Shake it till you make it and drop it like it's hot and... You know, chicken dinners and hot dog nachos with burger and fries for $5. And whatever church do it for your growth, that's your personal thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's not church growth.
Yeah.
Don't get that confused with church growth.
Yeah.
That don't have nothing to do with church growth because 9 times out of 10, the money we're raising is for inward. It's for us to survive. Is not to take it outward and seek and save for which is lost.
You just said something.
It's all, you know, that copying machine that you purchased, you financed, that they want to come and repossess, but now you got to make payments on it, which you don't use anyway for church bulletins. You know, stuff to that matter. You know, computers that's not even plugged up because you don't have Wi-Fi.
My God.
And you just got them sitting there looking good, collecting dust.
You've been to some churches.
Man, you still paying on that. You know, here it is. You got to pay a janitor, and you only have church once a week.
Mm.
Members should have the syndrome, bend down, pick up.
Mm.
Instead, you don't have to hire all these people. Listen, we focus so much inward to make it seem like we're bigger than what we are.
Yeah.
Paul said it best, he who thinks of himself more than what he is, he's a deceiver.
Mm.
And we are deceiving ourselves as the church.
That's good.
That's
good. That's good. My God, man. Look, we ain't going to harp on it too long. It's just amazing to me that even in this day and age, we're still trying to do the same old stuff.
Same stuff, man.
Thinking that there's going to be something, that there's going to be a different result.
You hear me?
Proactive, man, versus I said this to my church a couple of weeks ago at the end of the service. I said these two words. I said proactive, reactive. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And it's okay. And speaking of something you were talking about earlier, you mentioned something about miracles earlier. You said something about when we talk about Jairus' daughter, and I made mention of that yesterday because it's the anniversary. There we have my godson, Alvin Morris. He turned 3 this past weekend.
Okay.
And he was a preemie.
Okay.
I mean preemie meaning that he was real early, like too early. And the doctors literally told his mama and his daddy and his grandmama and the rest of them, just y'all be ready for he ain't gonna make it.
Uh-huh.
He ain't gonna make it past 72 hours.
Okay.
Don't, you know. But he just celebrated his 3rd birthday.
Oh wow.
Right. And he's fine. I mean, you know, bad.
Wow.
He's bad.
Wow.
Spoiled.
Wow.
But he's fine.
He's fine.
And I mean, no issues, no nothing. And he running around here just like any other
kid. One issue, just bad.
Yeah, that's right. That ain't had nothing to do with him being a preemie, though.
Right.
That's just bad baby syndrome. But it's just a man. And I had to remind the church after Devon got through preach, I had to remind them. I said, because one of Devon's key point of his message was, thank God for you. He said, look at your neighbor and say, I thank God for you. And I try to remind him, I said, we keep looking for these big part the Red Sea miracles.
Wow.
And we keep looking for these big moments of manna falling from heaven. And I say, all you got to do is look around the room.
Wow.
And you see walking, living. We got folk, man, who've been in remission from cancer, cancer free. We got folk, man, who babies who we got actually two preemies in our congregation. The doctor said would not make it. We got two thriving. We got folk, man, who come back from strokes. We got folk who come back from blood clots, man. It should have clogged up their lungs. It should have took them out.
Wow.
We got folk that come back from a whole lot of stuff. We got folk in our church, the lady who runs our food pantry.
Wow.
She had to get cut out of a car 2 weeks ago on their way to church. Got T-boned.
Wow.
Had to be cut out of a car, but walked in here that following week. Come on now.
Wow.
But y'all waiting on what? You know,
I often, and this this is our assurance, and I use this term a lot because I think it's motivating. I'm not saying it's prophetic, but it's motivating and it's inspiring. Trust God again.
Woo!
You know, a lot of times,
again.
We trusted him
for situations
in our lives
that
he came through.
I'm stuck on that again.
Yes, he came through.
Hey, God.
But then here come another dilemma. We forget that he came through before.
He just came through.
And we go right back into panic mode. Because we have a memory loss of what he already just did.
Mm-hmm.
But then we don't think he's that favorable or faithful that he would come and do it again. And I want to even tell the body that anybody that's listening today, trust God again. We're dealing with problems over and over and over in our lives. And we deal with problems so we can be more connected to who he is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, and I often say this, and this is a reality, we go to people more about our problems than we do God.
Yeah.
We don't never take it to the Lord. And so everything that we go through, he be the last resort.
Say that again. We go to people.
We go to people and not the Lord.
Wow.
He's always our last resort. And here it is. This is what we do. He said, man, we do this. Well, I guess since I done tried this, I done tried that. Well, I guess I'll just take it to God in prayer now. That's one of the biggest insults in the Lord.
When are we going to learn? How about we reverse this thing in the reverse order? Let's go to God first.
Man, he said this now in his commandment. Come on. Thou shalt have no other God before me.
Mm.
And we don't understand that sometimes our lack of communication with him is turning others into our idol. And you know,
we go back to worshiping what when we had our anniversary a couple of weeks ago. One of the brothers said something about being slaves to nostalgia.
Yes.
We'll resort back.
Resort back.
Just like the children of Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You just said it. We forget. Just like children of Israel. They forgot that he brought them out of bondage. They forgot that he protected them on the way to cross the Red Sea. They forgot that he protected them. They forgot that he provided for them. And then as soon as the prophet leaves.
Yeah.
As soon as the man of God disappears,
yes,
y'all want to go back.
Go back.
Come on now. I'm talking to somebody's church.
Yeah.
I know y'all hear me.
Yeah.
As soon as you ain't got no leader.
Yes.
Or you think you ain't got one. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
You want to go back to doing what you were doing before because that's what worked.
We're content. We're comfortable. We're complacent.
Ooh.
And let truth be told.
My God.
It's not always the leader's fault. Because if you looked at the Israelites all the way through the Bible, they all had issues with every leader that was in charge.
Mm.
Every leader that was in charge, they gave them a little hell.
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
they dominated, some they weren't able to.
Yeah.
And so here in this life that we live as members, as church-going people, it's a crisis because here it is. The scripture supports this. Our people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Uh-oh.
We don't operate with wisdom. We don't operate with pure knowledge of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're not operating in that capacity, then anything that goes just goes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stand for nothing. You just keep falling for everything.
Mm.
And we at a point, we got to be at a place and time that we got to learn to start standing for something as Christians.
Yes.
This don't have nothing to do with you being a pastor
Mm-mm.
or you being an evangelist, bishop.
Nope.
No, just you being a Christian alone.
Yeah, stand on that.
You got to stand on that. You got to stand on the word.
Mm.
And you know, we're at a crisis because, watch this, People love to go everywhere else but the church now. Mm-hmm. Bible classes are empty. Sunday schools are empty. Sunday morning services are empty.
Uh-huh.
Revivals are empty.
Uh-huh.
Prayer meetings are empty.
Uh-huh.
Crusades are empty.
Uh-huh.
Choir rehearsal, empty. Business meetings, empty. Every time
God.
It come down to
oh,
the
God.
Church, it's just an empty matter.
Oh, God.
But when it come down to something that's pleasing to the flesh, it's full.
Oh.
You can get a long line in the grocery store, long line at a concert, long line at the ballpark, long line at the stadium, long line everywhere else. But the church, anything that's causing spiritual development to us, we run from it.
But if it's a program.
But if it was a program,
oh, we coming.
We coming because we're not coming.
We're not showing up.
But we're not coming to get Jesus.
No.
We come to see.
And that's food.
Yeah, and that's food.
And
yeah.
That's food.
Yeah.
We come to observe.
We come to observe. And
you're
so I said this, you know, we as a church, we as a people. Now, I'm not knocking the church at all, but we must do better.
Yeah.
We must. Church is much bigger than just coming, clapping your hands, come and lift up your hands, come and standing on your feet. But church is really on the outside where we've been effective. When people walk past your church, my question is, how do they identify your church?
Ooh.
What do they identify your church as being?
Ooh.
Are you a church that care?
Ooh.
Are you a church that love? Are you a church that support? Or do your church look like your community?
Or is it just the church?
Or is it just the church?
Just the church.
Or, matter of fact, do they know who the pastor is without looking at the sign? And so we got to ask ourselves these questions. What have we done as a body of Christ failed society? And I'm not saying everything that's happening in this world is based on the church. I'm not saying everything that took place based on the church. Because the scripture said that Satan is the prince of this earth.
Yeah.
But we are a child's king.
Yeah.
And the scripture, Psalms 24 said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness
thereof.
And
yeah.
they... That
That's
the world
right.
they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that means that we got some clout.
Yeah.
We got spiritual clout
yes,
against
sir.
The wiles of the enemy. Because the scripture said, in the name of Jesus, demons must tremble.
Ah.
And so if we're proclaiming the name of Jesus, then that's supporting the defense that we need to overcome the odds that we are faced.
Talk.
The problem is, one of the biggest struggles, we don't have enough people that's willing to be on frontline battle.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be in the back cut. We want to be in the back looking, taking a selfie. No, the best place to take a selfie is in the front, be on the front line. Because truth of the matter, if you're in the back, you can hardly be seen. It's not a selfie, it's just a come together. But if you want to be part of this riffraff that's taking place in our city of Chicago, I do believe that we as number one leaders need to come and really deny ourselves. The same stuff that we teach and preaching our members, we first must do it too. Deny ourselves. And then once we deny ourselves, now we come with the spiritual development. Say, okay, this war that we're fighting, it's not about flesh and blood, but this is a spiritual principle that needs to take place. And let me tell you something. I think we need to go back and change our language because our language have been just like the world's language. The world complain, we complain.
Ooh.
The world fuss, we fuss.
Change
the world cry, we cry. I mean, we don't do – there's no type of separation. How can you now identify of Christian versus a non-believer?
There's more depression and oppression in the church than there is on the outside of the church. And that's the one place where depression should not be.
Talk.
You should not be in church depressed. You should and the only reason you're able to be in church depressed is because there is no power in the church. There is no more. There's no deliverance in the church. So you come into church just like you left the world. You come into church with no change. So you're just coming in and going through the motions.
Talk.
Because like you said, after you get through dancing, talking in tongues, doing backflips, all of that stuff, you go right back to what you were doing ahead of time. So where is the deliverance? I thought about this on the way in.
You talking, man.
Because it's going to go right into our article. You mentioned revivals. Are there any revivals anymore?
No true revivals.
True revivals.
No true.
Not these contrived things where we just...
Not survivals.
Yeah, right, where we just getting out, but maybe we want to come preach my revival. You know, we
that's survival.
Right?
That's survival.
Survival, right. Because it's a way that it's a quick dollar now.
Yeah, yes.
It's a quick dollar.
Yes.
Yeah, ain't no real revival. I'm talking about revivals where people are actually of spirits are revived. Not the church building being revived, but spirits are revived. What happened to true revival?
What happened to the outdoor tents?
Oh, my God.
We used to live for outdoor tents.
And Sheldon Wilson, my God, I was about to say it. Bless you. And I'm sorry I didn't mention none of y'all on Facebook Live. I know y'all there. God bless y'all. Bless each and every one of y'all. Sheldon Wilson said that's because they're all scheduled. Real revival just took place.
Trump too.
Come on now.
You're right.
It just took place. Right. See, now you want
that's good.
You want to do an unscheduled revival? This is what you do. But see, here's the problem. You got to have some committed folk. See, first of all, you got to have some committed folk. You say, you know what? You tell your musician, look, man, look, you ain't got to tell nobody. I need you down here on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I need you down here the rest of the week. I need you to come and I need you to bring the choir. And I just need y'all to come down here. We're going to open up the church and we're just going to put it. We're not going to pre-plan. We ain't going to put it up. We're not going to put it. We'll put the sign up the day of. And we just going to go in just right there. And we're going to allow the Spirit of God to dictate our course.
Wow.
But see, we anytime you on the calendar, we're going to do a revival in the spring. We're going to do a fall revival.
Wow.
And then we're going to do a summer solstice.
Wow. yesterday, man, listen. So, and this is even dealing with us knowing our identity as Christians.
Mm.
So I went, Sunday is softball day at Washington Park. And like 30 teams played 3 games.
Ooh, Sheldon.
And so I got the opportunity to go because we got out of church so early.
You got to go early.
I got a chance to go play.
Uh-huh.
And so where we was playing at, you know, Washington Park got all these diamonds.
Yeah.
And so this particular yesterday, I guess it was a church picnic or what have you,
mm-hmm.
like a little farther over, but the music was banging.
Yeah.
And I knew mm-hmm. in my spirit the music probably was frustrating some of the teams.
Uh-huh. Didn't bother you, though.
But me being who I am,
right.
I'm up there rocking, dancing,
right.
and singing,
right.
and didn't care if I was the only one.
Right.
Because, number one, they know who I am.
Right.
When people know who you are, they expect you to act a certain way.
Come on now.
Took their behavior.
Right. And let their behavior.
And let their behavior affect the need.
Dictate how you.
Yes.
And that's what we do in church.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's what we do in church. Half the folks show up dead, dry, nasty attitude, and we look around and we allow them to dictate how we worship. So now our worship, we come in excited. And then I look around and I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, listen, I'm going to tell you this now. It's easy for that to happen too.
Ooh, it is. For any of us to fall into.
Yeah. And I don't care. Don't
guilty.
Definitely. I don't care how spiritual you are.
Guilty.
Me personally, I hate looking at an ugly face Sunday morning. And when I mean ugly, I'm not talking about the looks.
Yeah.
Like you done did us a limit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate. That's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah. The attitude.
But you know, I made a vow yesterday,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the controversy I heard in the atmosphere,
mm.
that I was gonna come in and preach the hell out them.
Oh my God.
And I didn't care if they received it or not. Mm. I preached myself happy. and it wasn't one of them emotional messages.
No.
It was a message that I believe that we needed as a whole in there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm serious. Church folks,
mm-hmm.
Christians,
mm-hmm.
we got to change our identity.
Ooh.
Get back to the place where the Lord has delivered us from.
Mm.
Because, now, here, not from, but to.
Yeah.
Because what happens, when we mess with certain crowds,
mm-hmm.
our flesh start to be getting back attractive.
Yep.
To what we was once delivered from.
Uh-huh.
And now we become hidden.
Yeah.
Because now we be ashamed
uh-huh.
of Christ.
Yep.
Without even acknowledging we're ashamed of him. And that's why the scripture, let your light so shine before men that they may see your great work. Now, people of God, we flirting with this thing.
We more comfortable with where we came from.
Yes, sir.
Because we believe we understand it.
We believe we understand
Familiarity breeds content. I'll say that again. Familiarity breeds content. So when you sit back and say, well, you know what? It's that whole saying, and it's one of the worst sayings ever, but it's so true. Trust the devil you know.
Trust the devil you know.
And maybe the problem is the devil you know is why you in the position you in.
And sometimes the devil you know could be you.
Exactly. And you're trusting what you know. And it's too easy to fall back into familiarity. I love what you said. Stop going back to what you've been delivered from. Fall back to what you've been delivered to. That's good. That's good. I like
Seriously.
That. Let me keep that in the mental roller deck.
I'm serious, man.
That's
and
good. One day I'm going to preach again. I'm going to have that ready. That's good. That's good stuff, man. Look, man, Sheldon Wilson, my God, you blessing me. I don't mean to ignore the rest of y'all, but Sheldon Wilson just said this. Revival ain't planned. He says, and then he says, and revival can only happen when death occurs. There's got to be some death before there can be a revival.
Hey, Sheldon, let me say this.
Not resuscitation, but death.
Sheldon, let me say this. Funerals are the new revivals.
Ain't they, though?
Ain't funerals
they,
right now.
They have become.
Are the new revivals.
That's
we
good.
We feel we can't get them nowhere else but at a funeral.
That's good.
And that's why you see most guys act a fool, preach their hardest, give the biggest call of discipleship at a funeral than anywhere else.
Because that's the one time that you're probably going to have more, depending on where the funeral is and who the person was, that's the one time where you'll have more non-believers in your presence than ever before.
Yeah, and but this is the thing. And can I give you guys points? Now, I'm not the biggest, best preacher in the world, but there's certain things about me when it comes down to funerals, weddings, and stuff. You know, I stunk with the big dogs, and I'm being real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I stunk with the big dogs when it comes to funerals because a lot of times we like to exhaust people at funerals. We like to wear them out. You need to get people on the edge of their seat to make them want more. And make them want to come back.
Find out where you are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Instead of trying to wear them out,
give them all your
give them just a little taste so they want to come back for some more.
Wow.
Don't give them a buffet meal.
Just give them an appetizer.
Give them a spiritual one-night stand.
Oh, my God.
Hit them hard and have them thinking about you all night.
Yeah.
Thinking about the words that you shared. And then also, always remember, we are images and reflections of Christ.
Yeah.
So if they're thinking about us and we're walking the walk, then automatically they'll be thinking about him.
Yeah.
And so the question is, what's the lasting legacy we leaving on people after we done preached and even taught or gave them a word? Mm-hmm. The lasting legacy we leave on them is Christ.
Mm.
It's the gospel. And we got, you know, we have gotten so deep, bro. We have taken this gospel, homiletics, and exegesis, eisegesis. We all these big terms. We have taken the gospel and twisted and lost its simplicity.
Mm.
We lost the simplicity of the gospel, of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
We lost that because we want to be the baddest preacher. We want to be the deepest preachers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's not the preaching that's going to get folks to heaven.
Yeah.
It's not. And half the time, we're not preaching to win souls.
Mm.
We're not preaching to win souls. That's not our mission.
No, we're putting on, we're putting on, I hate to say it, but we're putting on a show.
It's showtime at the Apollo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It is. And you know, I believe some men out here, I love guys that do proper preparation and get themselves to that place. But maybe this, and this is going to help some people because I had to get blessed by this and I got convicted.
Yeah.
Don't allow your atmosphere or your culture dictate your study habits.
Yeah. Yeah.
You continue to maintain your equilibrium with you and the Lord, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of the opposition that's in your way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we get discouraged.
Mm.
And when we get discouraged, we lose focus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lose focus, then we get lazy.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And then when we get lazy, we fall out of love with the idea of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible. It's a strong possibility that the wrong people that you connected to can make you lose power.
Wow. That's going to get us right into our article today, man. Y'all ready? I hope y'all get ready for this, man. Look, we're going to take a quick break, and I mean quick, no more than about 30 seconds, and then we're going to jump right into today's conversation. 11 reasons church revitalization is possible.
Man,
11 reasons.
Look at Gerald said, I almost gave up. I'm glad you didn't, bro.
Woo, my God. My God.
I'm
my
glad
God.
You didn't.
Don't make me find this
we hope
play.
That you're enjoying right today's back. Broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, don't ever allow your circumstances, I love that, to dictate. Whew, my God, that's good. That's good. That's good. Look, y'all, we got this good article, right? Church revitalization. Church revitalization. Why? Or 11 reasons church revitalization is possible. This is good. We're going to run right in this, and we're going to get out of here because we got to be out of here at 1:30. Yes, we do. The writer says this. 11 reasons church revitalization is possible. He says, take a look at some churches, and it's hard to believe that life can ever come from what appears to be an impending death. Here's why I believe church revitalization is possible, even in the toughest situations.
Yeah. Number one, God is a God who specializes in bringing new life to the dying.
Mm.
That's just who he is. And we can trust that he still does that in churches today. It's Satan who says it can't happen.
Woo, my God.
That's true.
My God.
That's true.
Yes, sir.
I never seen a situation with Jesus that he didn't resurrect.
Ooh. Ooh.
There was never a situation in the Bible that he never resurrected.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Anything that was dying, he resurrected it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that went crazy, mm-hmm. he made it sane.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that was hurt, he healed it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that was blind, he allowed them to see.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that was lame, he made walk.
Mm-hmm.
He never allowed a dead situation to be dead.
Mm.
It always was resurrected.
That's good. I love that. But it's Satan that tells you it can't happen.
It's Satan that tells us that it can't happen.
Satan will do is look at and tell you to keep looking at your circumstances.
Yeah.
Keep looking at your surroundings and just go ahead and die a quiet death. Don't fight.
Exactly.
You can't win no way. Just stay where you are and eventually just close your eyes and go on to sleep.
And he do it in two forms.
Come on.
One is fear.
Mm.
And the other one is lack of faith.
Yeah. That's good.
That's how he dominates us.
That's good. Nate, my God. That's amazing. That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going. Number two says, a committed, faithful, visionary leader can make a difference in almost all situations. The writer says, just one person who leads with vigor and faith can restore hope to a struggling congregation.
It can.
Come on, Doc.
It can, because if God before you,
woo!
He's more than the whole world against you. God, God will use who allow him to be used.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want to be used by God,
yeah.
just allow him to use you.
Yeah.
I'm serious. He would do the impossible.
That's good.
And honestly, I do believe in that because God blesses the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He blesses the committed. He
mm-hmm.
blesses the loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us don't. We jump ship.
Ooh.
The late Forrest Norvell said this. He said, if they want you off the ship,
mm-hmm.
let them throw you off.
Woo.
But don't you jump off.
My God.
Let them throw you off. Jonah.
Good.
They knew Jonah's situation.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just throw me off of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, a lot of us abandon ourselves when we don't need to jump ship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just need to sit back and allow it to take and run its course.
Uh-oh.
Sit back and allow it run its course.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's going to work out for our good.
Yeah, yeah.
All good. Things work out together for the good.
Jody said, I'm a living witness.
Yes, sir.
You tell the truth, Jody.
Yes, sir.
You tell the truth. Let's keep going. Number three.
Somebody in the church wants it to grow in a healthy way. It might be only one person, but that's a start.
Mm.
Finding God remnant creates optimism.
Uh-oh.
That's true, man.
That's good.
Listen, man. Oh, my God. That shouting stuff. Y'all got me jumping in this chair. Listen. Stop focusing on the masses in certain areas and look at the minority. Everybody might not know what's really taking place in the church. That might be a ruckus, a havoc that's taking place in the church. But it looks like it's being visible, but truth be told, everybody don't know about it. And because everybody don't know about it, you're afraid to go to individuals to see where their heart is at towards the ministry.
Yeah.
And not knowing that there's a remnant of people that really want to see the church grow.
A remnant.
And just because they talk to people who don't want it to see it grow don't mean that they're going along to get along. Every bird of the feather don't flock together.
Oh, my God.
It don't.
I love this because here's the deal. You got to be able to find that remnant.
You got to be able to find it.
And you got to rally that remnant together because a lot of times, you and I could be on the same page, but sitting on opposite sides of the room. Just like what you said, because I see you talking to those who don't want to see the church grow. We'll never connect because my eyesight is telling me, oh, he with them. My eyesight is telling me he with them. But the minute the two connect, you're like, well, wait a minute. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know what? God revealed that to me, too. Then we need to.
But, you know, the best way that happens? Through prayer.
Yeah, that's true. Because prayer, God will give you a spirit of discernment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
And you can see past who you talk.
That's good.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
Let's go. Number four says this. Larger churches are more committed to helping struggling churches thrive.
No.
He says, frankly, watch this. Frankly, too many pastors have been so turfish and competitive that they've been unwilling to help congregations. That's changing.
I don't know. That might be another state. But that's not changing in Chicago.
Wow.
Honestly, wow. People.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, from experience. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's like every man for themselves now in Chicago.
And that's unfortunate.
And, you know,
and the community suffers because of that.
What happens in Chicago, a bigger church versus smaller church.
Yeah.
The bigger church tell a smaller church, just shut down, bring your members here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not helping.
No. It's not.
That's recycling.
That's
you think that because I'm struggling,
right?
I haven't been called to pastor.
Right.
I haven't been called to do this.
Right.
But you forgot in your early stages,
right,
you went through the same hell.
Right.
You just overcome it now.
Right. And some got put into different situations.
Exactly.
It's like two kids coming from two separate situations. You coming from a two-parent home and parents with good credit, and then I come from a one-parent home with bad credit, and then we're thrust out into the world.
Yes.
You're given every opportunity to succeed, and I'm putting opportunities that I got to struggle my butt off.
Yes.
And so then you go succeeding, and then you turn around and look at me and say, well, why haven't you grown?
Yes.
Well, I didn't have the same starting point that you did. I didn't get put in a historical church with members who recognize its church's purpose. I got put in a church where people who really don't understand what their purpose is.
Have you ever seen the and you probably seen this in grammar school, high school, the most likely to succeed person?
Ooh, yeah.
And you look at them now.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen. Yeah.
It's because what the platter they had at that particular time, it was smooth sailing for them to make it.
Yeah.
But they made bad decisions.
Yeah. You know what's real scary, and I pray that things have gotten better, but you just mentioned it. I looked at, because our picnic is coming up for Austin.
Yeah.
And I just happened to go back and take a peek at the 88 and 89.
Thrill is gone.
Yearbook. At the best dressed and the most likely to succeed and best athlete and all of that. And I've seen a handful of those people recently, and I go, oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
let's go. Number five.
Number five says more leaders are developing team leadership,
particularly
younger leaders want to lead through a team. And having that team giving back and support to press on towards revitalization. And that's good. I believe that's happening in a lot of bigger churches.
Yeah.
Bigger churches. See, you know, smaller church team is two or three people.
Mm-hmm.
A bigger church might have 20, 30 and different teams to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
I always said this, in order for a ministry to be a great success, you must have a great team.
Have to. Gotta have a great team.
Have to.
Like-minded people, Christ-minded people,
mm-hmm.
right-spirited people.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have anybody.
Oof.
You gotta have the right people, even though we don't agree on everything.
I'm gonna get even with small churches, small buildings, small congregation, whatever, small churches. If you get the right people together, and if you have a real team, not just people who like working with you,
uh-huh.
but people who can say, you know what, I know somebody who might be willing to come help us.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's how you go. Like with you, for
uh-huh.
instance.
Uh-huh.
You said this early on, and you said it quite often. You have a team of people you work with, but uh-huh. you have an outside group of people.
That's an outside group of people.
You need to now create an environment.
Uh-huh.
Where that outside group of people no longer feels like we just here on the outside, we coming to help you, and then we're
exactly.
going on about our business.
Exactly.
So you need to create an environment where those outsiders say, "This is I don't want to be an outsider. I want to do my work from within because I want to help this thing grow."
Well, you know.
But you're going to have to move people out of the way.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Those that been here won't let those come here stay here.
Oh, God, I knew that was coming. I know it was coming because I see it. I see it too.
It's reality.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
One thing you can't do for a volunteer and a person who's spending their money is to have them come into a place of chaos.
It's hard.
Because they really don't have to.
And they'll only stay for the person who invited them.
Exactly.
And now you have them working almost begrudgingly.
Exactly.
So you're not really getting their best. They're saying, you know what? Parks called me. I'm going to come over here and do this.
I
really don't want to be bothered with them Negroes.
Man, watch this. I probably have some members that joined because of me want to leave, but they're not leaving because of who I am.
Wow. And that really shouldn't be the case.
It shouldn't be.
You ought to join a church because of what the church does.
Exactly.
And because of the organization, because of the ministry. One, that you prayed that God said, this is
exactly.
where I need to be.
Exactly.
This is where I can spiritually grow and go to a place where I can then go out and bring others in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's keep going. Number six says, some dying churches are finally recognizing reality. They're willing to admit that unless something changes, the church will die on their watch.
And you know something? I got to be honest with you on that. I got to admit that. Because, and always remember this. Now, just because a church die, you can't always blame the leader.
No.
But you can blame the leaders
mm-hmm.
that's in that position. Because some pastors don't have the voice.
Yeah.
To make changes that needs to be made.
Go back to what we were talking about earlier with Moses and the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Moses leaves,
yeah.
right? So they without a shepherd.
Yeah.
But he leaves people in charge.
In charge. That's good.
What happened?
That's
Those
good.
Leaders who
That's
were
good.
Already leaders.
That's good.
They were leaders all at the same time. They
That's
were
good.
All look. They were all brought aboard.
That's good.
At yeah. the same time. So right. So can we bring that to current situation?
Yeah.
You had a pastor. You had an assistant pastor.
Yeah.
You had a chairman. You had all these people in place.
Yeah.
The pastor leaves, and now all of these other people are left there. And while the pastor is gone, chaos breaks out
yes.
because of a lack of leadership.
Yes. Yes.
You had one faction saying, "Well, we ought to build a calf."
Yeah.
Go back to doing what we used to do.
Yeah.
We used to worship idols.
Yeah.
We need to bring them back.
Yeah.
So you start worshiping something dead.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
You start
That's
worshiping.
Good.
Oh my God.
That's good.
You start worshiping something dead because the leader is out of sight right now.
Out of sight.
He ain't gone. He's just out of sight.
Jesus.
Or as I like to say now, just in a transition.
Well.
Come on now.
We often say this.
Come on.
If the church died when the leader is not there, it was sick while he was there.
Oh, my God. That's good. Number seven. Let's go.
Denomination are giving attention to revitalization.
Mm-hmm.
The primary focus has been on church planting, but not the neglect of revitalization.
Mm.
Denominations are recognizing the need to do both.
Mm.
You know, when I look at the term denomination,
mm-hmm.
it suggests demonation.
Gonna go there again.
And denomination is really messing up a lot of us.
Yeah.
Because we are more committed to doctrine than we are committed to the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's not in the bylaws, if it's not, this is not in our doctrine, we don't do it.
Yeah.
Versus the word. You know, I think
we need to cut the denomination stuff because it's causing a separation in the body of Christ. It really is. You know, Church of God Christ think they're better than Baptists. Church of God think they're better than Apostolic. Apostolic think they're better than Pentecostal. Pentecostal, I mean, man, yeah. I mean, it, you know, we're fighting a fight. Non-denomination think they're better than everybody because they practice everything. So, you know,
That is the biggest misconception to me, non-denomination.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've taken apart a piece of every denomination.
Every denomination.
You just can't come up with no name for it.
Exactly.
So you're going to say it's non-denominational. I mean, it's amazing to me that that's the mindset.
That's us, man.
Non-denominational.
Lutherans. The Seventh-day Adventists. Full
Hebrew,
gospel.
Hebrew.
Israelites. I mean, man, hell, if I didn't have enough sense, I'd be confused too.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Man, how do the lost know where to go?
They don't. Especially, here is the deal. Worship the way you worship without denigrating and putting down the other people.
And that's the problem.
We can't. We can't.
And
one thing I'll say about Baptists, we've gotten away from it because we used to do it too. Because Baptist churches used to talk about sanctified folk real
bad.
All that jumping. They don't wear no makeup and look at how they dress.
Because they all come from Baptists.
Yeah.
So Baptists mad, they left. You know? And I might say this, and someone might be watching
you,
us.
You're telling the truth, the whole truth. Come on.
I'm tired of these Facebook pastor cowards.
Oh, God.
Knocking other denominations and smaller churches on Facebook.
Oh, God.
That's some foolishness, man.
Oh, God. Oh,
knock
God.
It off.
Oh, God. What's going on, man? Let's keep going. Number eight says, older folks who are deeply loved often get on board with revitalization. That is, even folks who long for things to stay the same can buy into change if they know they're genuinely loved and respected in the process. If they know.
Because I know some mothers, their elders, that will stand up for what's right if they know that they're given the love and respect in the process.
And we don't just want you here so we can say we got elders.
Exactly.
Or we don't just want – I'm not just making you a mother of the church just because you – have reached the age of 70.
Didn't the Bible say when things happen in church, you take it to the elders?
The elders. You see, everybody elder now. You got folk 20, you know, I know folk calling 25 years old. Well, elder?
Elder.
Elder?
What? Because my pastor's a bishop or apostle.
Elder?
I'm an elder. Man, total trash.
Man. Oh, my God. But you know what? I love that because if some people, I like this because there is a bad habit in the church of keeping those people around simply because of nostalgia or keeping them involved, not because you love them, but it looks good.
It looks good.
It looks good that we keep our seniors around even though we really don't. Because here's the deal. If the only thing you do is honor them on Senior Day.
Yeah, they're just a statue.
It's just a statue. They become a living, breathing statue.
That's it.
Because we honor them. Because here's the deal. My understanding, and help me because you would know this too, mothers in the church used to be some of the most powerful prayer warriors in the church. I remember a day in this church when we had some mothers like Mother Pendleton and Mother Althea Pendleton, Mother Payne, who could pray the paint off the wall.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, I'll never forget this. I was in my late 20s. So we're talking 98, and a lady came to church. She was the daughter of one of our members who had been addicted to drugs and everything else. And she showed up at church, man, pretty much wearing some Daisy Dukes and a tank top.
Wow.
And she stayed out, and the ushers had her out in the hallway, and she was just out there making all type of noise and everything else. And two or three mothers said, "We need y'all to come out right now into this hallway." And they surrounded that woman and started pleading the blood of Jesus over her. Do we have that anymore?
No, because mothers used to be the voice of the pastor.
Come on now.
Used to, when that was an issue.
Come on.
In the church.
Come on.
The pastor would go take it to the mother.
Come on.
And one thing about, we might not like what the mother said.
They might not like it.
But we respected what they said.
Because we understood that they had a deeper connection.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Exactly.
Where is that at now?
Man,
now they just wear white and sit in the front and talk mess or drink water and pull out a sandwich out there.
They gossip.
That's what I'm saying. What happened to the seniors?
Can we get off that? Because I might get in trouble.
I'm serious, though. But what happened?
I literally might get in trouble.
Okay.
You know, they was the ones who covered the pastor.
Yes.
They was the ones
they covered the
when
church.
When there's a situation going on in
they
the church
covered
with the pastor, it's the mothers who would take a stand,
man,
and say, no, we're not going to do this.
Right. That's our pastor.
Whether he was right or wrong, our pastor.
Even in his wrongness, they knew
that's
to
our pastor.
Pastor, you come in,
they
we
don't
need to pray
against
you.
Our pastor.
Come on now.
They don't try to knock him. Let me stop, please.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let me just stop.
Oh, my God. Stop. No, that's good, dog.
I got something that's going to watch this. I'm serious. All right, what was we at, man? Number 9.
Is you or me? You're somebody. Go
me.
Ahead.
Intentional interim pastors are often trained in revitalization.
And you said intentional?
Intentional.
Okay, that's what it said. I just want to make sure I read that right. Okay, go ahead.
They bring with them both the passion skill to help a church evaluate itself and set itself up for renewed growth under a new pastor. Now, I think people don't understand the term of interim pastors.
Talk.
Because interim pastor is not one just to fill a slot.
I'm going to sit over here.
He's there to do a work. He's there to whatever issues that have been taking place. He's a problem solver. He's one that have identified issues, and he's going to do his best to try to rectify them.
Talk now.
His job is to make it easy for a transition for a new pastor to come in.
Talk now.
Whether he got to get his hands dirty or not, he's not there to make friends.
Talk now.
He's there for a rebuking.
Talk now.
He's there for chastising.
Talk now.
But the people that have offered him that position got to understand his voice does matter.
Talk now.
As long as he's the interim pastor.
Talk now.
Now he's not there for longevity, and he understand that.
Talk
because
now.
He knows that in the midst of him rebuking
right.
and chastising,
right.
he's gonna create a lot of enemies.
That's right.
But it's gonna be for the betterment of the church.
Come on now.
He's not gonna come in with a personal agenda.
Ah.
He's not gonna come in with a hidden agenda. And then also those that select him can't have a hidden agenda to try to make him drown because they forget. No man that know how to swim gonna drown. For real. So that's one of the things that we lose focus, because I know a couple of churches now that's up and they want interim pastors, but they really just want a pastor just to come in and preach while the church take care of everything
else. That's really what they want.
That's what they want. And that's
shut up
wrong.
And preach.
Yeah. All we need for you to do
preach.
Preach, do communion
that's
and
it.
Baptism.
That's it.
And go on about your way.
We got the rest of this.
We got the rest of this.
See, that's
where you have to come to business meeting.
That's where they don't understand the word I'm looking for, succession.
Uh-huh.
If the captain of the ship dies while the ship is on the water, somebody has to stir the ship.
Somebody has to stir it.
Somebody has to steer the ship. Until, yeah. I know I said stir. I mean, let me say that because I know some people listening. Somebody has to steer the ship, not stir, but steer the ship until it gets to its destination.
Yes.
So the next person of rank is supposed to take over. Now watch this. Once he assumes the rank, he has all rights and privileges of the captain who was no longer there.
Yes.
Meaning if he says, hey, I see dangerous waters coming, we need to
That's
make
good.
A little course adjustment,
That's good.
Then guess what? You need to make a course adjustment.
That's good.
That don't mean that now the former person who was down there mopping the deck down there get a voice and say, hey, I don't think we ought to go that way. You didn't tell the old captain that, but now because we ain't got to, right. Just because the captain you was following is no longer here, the next I'm gonna leave this alone.
Saints, it's called protocol.
I'm gonna leave this alone.
You gotta go through a protocol. But the problem is when you don't have a church that's set up,
see,
that protocol is established.
See, yeah. Then it's
gonna be chaos.
Anarchy.
And so if there's not a head, you know, the body is gonna do whatever it wants to do. Because truth be told, the body normally follows the head. And so what the head doing, that's what the body should do.
Yeah.
But if there's no head, then there's no structuring.
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing in line, then we're going to be chaotic and do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
Disbanded. That's why so many people is out here loose.
Woo!
Woo. We got so many Christians loose. They don't care what they do. They're loose. They don't care what they put on social media. They're loose. They don't care what they how they talk in public. They're loose.
There's no ownership, no accountability.
Oh God. You're just straight loose.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
Seriously.
Whew. That's all right, I'm gonna leave that alone. My. Number 10. 10 says young leaders are interested in revitalization.
Mm.
In fact, I'm pleasantly surprised by the number of my students at Southeastern Seminary who want to lead churches to revitalize. Yeah. I well, you know what? That's a trick bag for me. I'll say this.
Yeah.
Because some young people just want the spot.
Yeah, yeah. I got to respect from the angle.
Yeah, I know where he's coming from. Right.
Can I just keep it 100?
But you talking, we talk about what we know.
We need to talk about black folks.
Right. We talk about what we know here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black folks.
Yeah.
Rebellious.
Mm.
Hard head. You can't tell them nothing.
Mm.
You can't suggest nothing.
Mm.
Because they want who they want.
Oh, no.
They
want to
put who in order who they want to put in order.
Did I just do that? Uh-huh.
Now, it's okay. You cannot tell them how to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't instruct them how to do that. And it's crazy that we got that type of people that we dealing with, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
These young folks are just terrible.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that you have a group of people who really don't. If we stick with what the writer was saying about the article, if we stick with what the writer was saying, don't worry about it. If we stick with what we were saying about the article, people will recognize. People will recognize that there are a group of people who really want to see the church come back, not go back to the standard of where it was, but surpass the standard.
Yeah.
The problem is you have people who want to who want things to go back to being the way they were, or they want to lead like their daddy led.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you can't do that. Let me ask this question. I'm not gonna ask that because I don't know. When you were at St. John,
uh-huh.
at St. John under Pastor Acri,
uh-huh.
would you say the church? And this might not be a fair question to ask. So, would you say the church? And if you want to, would you say the church was at a plateau? Had it reached a height, or has it gotten to a different height?
It got to a different height.
Okay. Okay. That's what I wanted to ask.
That's a great question because mm-hmm. now this is going to be so key. What I'm about mm-hmm. to say.
Okay.
A lot of churches plateau. They just switching members.
Mm.
And so just okay. because I got a lot of members coming to join,
okay.
but you got a lot of members leaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like we got people coming in, we got people leaving.
Right.
But you think it's growth, and it's really not growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They come back.
Yeah. Now, but it's really not growth.
Right. Right.
At all. And so you pretty much capped off.
Mm-hmm.
You're just exchanging the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, exchanging the bodies.
Yeah.
The numbers stay the same.
So the numbers are the same. It's just
the body.
Right, there's no growth.
There's no growth.
Like in a bank.
Yeah.
If you're just constantly taking the same money,
yeah.
you're not getting any new money coming in. At some point,
yes.
At some point, that old money gonna run out.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
At some point, that old money. And if you're not doing anything,
yes.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, you're hitting it right on the
yeah,
head.
Yeah, that's, oof. Yeah, yeah.
You're hitting it right.
Hey, y'all on Facebook Live, I'm sorry. I'm clicking too fast over here, and I accidentally ended it. You ain't got to hit the thing to accept it, but you ain't got to go out and reinvite nobody. If they come back, once they see it, they'll come back on. We apologize for that. We mean that was on me. I'm over here click happy. I'm clicking happy over here. Last one, man. Let's go to number 11.
First steps towards revitalization mm-hmm. are often basic. For example, preach the word clearly and fervently.
Mm.
Push everything towards excellence. Pray often, strengthen the worship service, and do evangelism.
Mm.
You can start somewhere if you want to see revitalization.
Mm.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's basic. Oh, and it is at base. Oh,
mm,
that's
yeah.
basic ministry.
Yeah, it is.
Right there.
Yeah.
In its entirety.
Start somewhere.
Start somewhere.
Start. Grab one ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just take one
yeah.
ministry.
Yeah.
What, and watch this. Take a ministry. First of all, you have to find a ministry, first of all, that has a chance to live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you just got ministries just for the sake of ministries, no. But if you see a ministry that, if you have a bunch of men in your church,
mm-hmm.
then you say, you know what? Our men's ministry, we have one, but it's really nothing to it. Let's see what we can do to bring that thing back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we can do to bring that thing back. Let's put some real effort and resources behind that ministry. If you have an outreach ministry,
yeah.
Like in your case,
yeah.
You have a huge, I'm not going to say huge, you have an outreach ministry
yeah.
that has the potential to be huge.
Yeah.
And it's not that it needs revitalization. It just needs resources.
It needs resources and bodies.
And bodies.
Yep.
So the thing is, you got to figure out a way to package that thing so that it's – because right now you have a lot of outside – you just talking to you. You got people from former football players
yeah.
who help you out with stuff, former
yeah.
people who own businesses and companies yeah. who sell stuff. But then it's like you get bombarded with all of the materials but don't have the resources to get it out.
Yes. Yes.
So when you get yeah. it out, it's kind of just out. You know,
it's
okay,
just out.
Well, y'all come get it.
It's ineffective. And a lot of people, and that's I'm
that's
glad
good.
You said that.
Good.
Because you can have
ineffective.
Resources.
Ineffective.
And not be effective.
Yeah, because you're not using
you're not
them
planting.
Properly. Yeah, you're not using them properly.
You're giving, mm-hmm. not planting.
Oof.
There's a difference between giving and planting.
Oh, my God.
There's the difference between
yeah.
sowing
yeah.
and donating.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes we donate
we
thinking
donate.
This is a sow.
Yeah.
And it's not a sow. And
yeah.
everything that we do is strategic.
Yeah.
And if it don't have no type of order
mm-hmm.
to it,
mm.
if it's chaotic, there's no God around it.
Ooh, my God.
He's not author of confusion.
My God. That's good stuff. Man, look, I hope y'all got some out of this. This was
oh,
awesome.
Man.
I really hope y'all got some out of this. This was absolutely amazing. I am just excited about this thing, man. It's going to be good. We're going to pray, man, and we're going to get ready to get up out of here. Pray for us, brother.
Father in heaven, we thank you and love you, God, and how we always honor you, God. God, we do know that we have said so many things concerning church, ministry, even our personal lives that we could take today and move forward. Father, we pray that you give us the anointing, God, that even when the enemy tried to come and steal our joy, that we look back to you, Father, and restore everything that has been taken out of us, God. God, fill us up, God, where we are weak, God. Strengthen our hearts and minds. And, God, I pray once again for the violence in our city of Chicago.
Mm.
I pray for a spiritual calmness. Mm. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, we got to go. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO, y'all keep y'all head on a swivel. We'll see y'all when we see you. Stay blessed. Peace.
The name of this song is just simply Total Praise.